what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Of course, when we read this and the word temptation in the text, it really is a far more expansive word than being tempted to sin. But it's a word that has the meaning of trials or tests. And we know that in this life we will go through trials and tests. But look at this revelation we get from the word of God for times of trials and testing. Let's read it this way. There is no temptation or there is no trial or test that taken you but such as is common to man. Meaning that there's nothing you're going to go through that somebody else hasn't already gone through. All right? But God is faithful, who will not suffer or who will not allow you to be tempted, tried, or tested above that you're able. But will with the temptation, with the trial, with the test that you're going through, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So we've been teaching from this subject. I say we because, you know, we started before we left on vacation, and Pastor Reynolds so eloquently handled two of the lessons for us. And I was able to watch both of them by way of the Internet. Amen. Thank God for the Internet. Amen. And I know y'all had a shouting good time last week. Hallelujah. Amen. And all right. Now, but the lesson is about maximizing life's broken situations, how to pick up the pieces, because if you live long enough, something's going to fall apart on you. Something will not work out like you want it to work out. The bottom drops out of relationships. The bottom drops out of plans and dreams. And you'll find yourself in a situation where you're picking up the pieces. And it's comforting to know that even though the Bible does not tell me I'm exempt from problems because I'm a Christian, and there's no exemption, but I do have the confidence and I do have the assurance that God will help me through it. So He has a plan to help me pick up the pieces to go on with life even after I have experienced some discomfort in life. We said that broken situations are never really monumental in scope. In other words, they never last forever. Even though when you're going through it, it almost seems like it's going to be forever. But the reality of it is they're never monumental. They're really momentary. And so we have to know how to handle these moments. And so we said that deliverance, when we talk about deliverance in this context, it's not about deliverance from, satanic situation, but it's about getting back on track with your life. Deliverance from the negative things that broken situations set into motion. So getting back on track is what's important. So we've given several things of what it takes to get back on track. First of all, our first principle was that you must get a vision beyond the trouble you're facing. And that is what is real hard to do, that when you're midst of everything, it's hard to see beyond the problem that you have. But it's not going to always be like that. I found out that I don't want to get too far into this, but the problem that you're in is really a platform for the next promotion. It really is. But it's hard to see that at the time. And most people quit planning when they go through trouble. They quit dreaming when they go through trouble. So in order for me to get beyond where I am, if I'm in a broken situation, if I'm picking up the pieces, things didn't work out like I thought they were going to work out, I have to get a vision beyond where I am. Number two, I have to value the benefits of a relationship with God and caring others. I don't run away from church. I run to church. Amen. I don't run away from God. I run to God. The third thing was that I must voice my breakthrough in the midst of my trouble. Now, that's hard to do because you're going through your trouble and you're telling everybody, by His stripes, I'm healed. You're going through your trouble and you're telling people every need is met. I remember very early in ministry when when I first got the faith message, and Lady Bridget did not have the faith message. And, of course, we were going through in those days. I mean, seriously going through personally. Beautiful. I mean, we were living from week to week. And I've always depended on the people to give to me. And so Bridget wanted me to stand and tell everybody how bad it was. And I was standing up telling them, every need is met. She's getting this bed caught. You better tell them, folks, we don't have no food. You know, it was in those days. I remember one Sunday I had to point folk out. I said, we're going to eat at your house tonight, this evening. I mean, after church, we're going to your house. And then Monday night, I need to I'll be at your house. I had to point folk out to eat. Bridget was so embarrassed, but she went with me because she was being able to talk faith and talk boldly is important when you're going through, because faith comes by hearing, but it's released by the words of your mouth. Amen. The fourth thing we have to do is vigorously bless the Lord for progressive results. And boy, I tell you, Pastor Ed had all of us shouting. I was shouting over there in China. You got to bless the Lord. You got to praise God in the midst of what you're going through. I'm telling you, and you know, some folk don't understand. You tell, that's all right, I'm working on something. How you praise God when God, look, I am working on something, and you got to do that. And then the next one, I think number five, was you have to choose victorious behavior based on the word of God and not how you feel. If you're going to get through it, it's not going to be based on how you feel, but it's going to be based on what the word of God says. So I do what I do out of discipline. Everybody say discipline. Discipline is enforced obedience. In other words, I don't have to feel this, but I'm going to do it. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, because I've got two more things that I'm going to tell you need to do if you're going to pick up the pieces and maximize a broken situation. Two more things you have to do. And the Bible is real clear about us being disciplined to do things. A lot of people sit around waiting on God. Well, God's waiting on you. All right, verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. If you do some things, you won't ever fall. So Peter lays out some things that he said, and the point I'm simply making here is the Bible is clear that I've got to do something. And so these things we've given you, choosing to do this, you've got to be a part of your deliverance. You've got to be a part of putting life back together. You cannot get into a state of depression where you sit along and wish somebody else will do it for you. Who am I talking to today? Amen. So you understand you have to take part. All right. Remember these things we've said. Choose to get a vision. Choose to value the benefits of relationship. Choose to voice your breakthrough. Choose to victoriously bless the Lord. And choose to have victorious behavior. That's my attitude. I'm going to win. Look at the person next time. I'm going to win. No, you've got to remind yourself, and I'm having others remind you today that in your situation, you got to remind yourself, it's not going to always be like this, and I'm going to win. You got to look yourself in the mirror sometimes, and you got to tell yourself, if nobody else will tell you, you got to tell yourself, listen, you're going to come through this. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, go with me your Bibles now, and let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. All right, here's the point. I must choose to value breakthrough enough to sow into the kingdom. To sow into the kingdom. If I'm going to get through it, all right, then I've got to value it enough if the Spirit of God, everybody say, if the Spirit of God. Yeah, if the Spirit of God tells me to, then I've got to be willing to sow a seed. Everybody say, if he tells me to. Now, I ought to be a tither already. And even though when you ever talk about money, it's always a contrary. There you go talking about money. That's my assignment in the body of Christ. I can't get away from that, all right? And until everybody become 100% tithe, I think I still got a job. Amen. Nah, right, really, until everybody quits sinning, we got a job to teach on sin, teach on victory over sin. Amen. But I want you to listen to this, because even though it's controversial, it does not change Scripture. It does not change Scripture. And I am not saying that every time you go through a problem, you have to sow a seed. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we can see some cases in Scripture where there people were asked to sow something, to honor God with a seed, to get the plan of action, to get to the next step, to get the miracle flowing in their lives. And remember now, if you're going to judge, rightly divide the word of truth, then when there are exceptions to your thinking that are in the Bible, because all of us got our thinking, but if there's an exception, you can't ignore that exception in your summation of doctrine. Now, what did he say? All right. See a person with an argument say, well, you don't always have to give. You don't always have to sow a seed. And I just said it. But there are some cases where you do. So you can't ignore the where you do and the cases in the Bible where a person was required. You can't act like that. That's not in there. That's in there. So when it comes to me overcoming, getting the breakthrough, wanting God to help me pick up the pieces, I got to include that too. I can't just leave that out. Now, personally, I can't leave it out because I know so many times I've come through because of the seed God told me to sow. I know my own personal life, my church. I mean, there's been times God said, okay, we fight the fight of faith. And boy, we needed a breakthrough. God said, do this. I did it. Boom, and it happened. So I can't ignore that. So I got to talk. I already told you. It's not every time. It's not like every time somebody came to Jesus, do you say, okay, you got off? No. But there are times. Everybody say there are times. Now, we give because of the spiritual principle or the scriptural principle. Scriptural principle. And then we also give based on spiritual promptings, when the Spirit of God prompts me to do it. You follow me? And we have scriptural evidence that God uses offerings to bring breakthroughs. Amen, 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 amen. All right, are you there in second, what I tell you? Second Samuel, chapter 24. All right, now watch this. Now what is going on is, what has happened is that there's a plague and people are dying by the hundreds and thousands. And then David gets this word from the prophet to go and offer a sacrifice. All right? Verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Ornan looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Ornan went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Ornan said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up that which seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing for instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Ornan as the king give unto the. All these things did Ornan as a king give unto the king. And Ornan said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Ornan, nay, I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Verse 25. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and burnt offerings and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Can you see that? Now, I know it's a lot of reading, but I wanted to read it to you so that you could understand. In this particular case, for David to get his breakthrough, to pick up the pieces, to deal with this situation, it was required of him an offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your enthusiasm Amen. Overwhelms me. Amen. Now, so this is a principle in Scripture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are to all be tithers. Amen. See, but we're not in this talking about the tithe. That's an assumed obedience. I know you shouldn't assume the obedience because there are people who still struggle with the idea of honoring God with the tenth. But I got to tell you now, if God didn't bless me with all of it, I wouldn't have any of it. If he didn't bless me with it, I wouldn't have it. You understand? And all he asked me to do was to give him a tenth as an honor gift, a tithe. Amen. And so, how can I expect for God to do his part when I'm not willing to do my part? The Bible says you're cursed with a curse, which means if I don't give to God, then I'm not under his protection. I'm not under his covenant. Now, I don't know how we think that when times get tough for us, we are exempt from giving. You know, if I didn't want to help you, I could just go on and skate around this. But I got to help you. If I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you. And, you know, like I said, I was going through a terrible time in my life. You're talking about picking up the pieces. I had messed up my scholarship. I had messed up my work-study program. I mean, my life was in the pits. And a preacher came to me and said, Ira, if you will tithe, God will bless you. Now, he didn't even talk to me about the offering. I picked that up when I was studying the tithes and offerings. And once I saw it, I thought, oh, my God. I have reason I'm under, reason things are breaking down like that. I'm a God robber. Did I love God? Yes. Was I going to church? Yes. But I wasn't able and had not trusted God in that area of my life. Oh, I said he was Lord of my life, but he had not become Lord over my pocketbook. And it was a time of growth for me. But I got to tell you, I start trusting God by giving a tithe of on $65 a week salary before taxes. And from that day to this day, I can tell you, tithing works. It works. And I know some of you young Christians and you're still struggling with it, but I gotta tell you, you know, life goes to a whole nother level when God becomes your partner. Now, when I studied the tithe out of Malachi chapter 3, I saw it said tithes and offerings. Everybody say and offerings. Yeah. And so when I studied the offering out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I saw in here a promise for God getting involved with my life. All right, verse 7 says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So Bible says that when I give offerings, as I purpose in my heart, then God's going to get involved in my life. Now, how is he going to get involved, preacher? He's going to get involved with favor or grace. Now, I'm going to teach on grace tonight, a favor tonight, but I'll just give you like kind of a little snippet on it. It's the willingness of others. God begins to touch other people so that they use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. Come on, if you think about it now. Everything you've accomplished, somebody has been there to help you. None of us has made it anywhere on our own. Somebody has always had to be there to open the door, to help us, in order for us to get from one place to the other. The Bible says, when I give my offerings in faith, then God goes to work to raise up people to help me. Now, that is so simple. That is, you don't need the Hebrew, you don't need the Greek, you don't need anything to understand that. That is so simple. The question is, do I want God to raise up people to help me put my pieces back together, to put my life back together, to help me? Do I want that? And the question and the answer to that is, yes. So then, you follow me, if I get a witness from the Lord to sow a seed to give, then I'm going to do that. I'm going to do it with the express desire. God, I'm sowing this. I need you to raise up somebody to help me. It says all sufficiency. Everybody say all sufficiency. All sufficiency. So it's not just talking about money, but it's talking about the all sufficiency of life. Now, go from your Bibles now to Psalms 66. Psalm 66. Scripture proves that we bow and pay in times of trouble. And so so you understand, it is a scriptural concept that giving and moves the hand of God. People have been, throughout the ages, using offerings to move God's hand in their time of trouble. Even when they didn't have it, they vowed. They made a vow. God, if you'll help me, I'll do thus and so. All right, look there. Verse 12, it says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water. Thou broughtest us out unto a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth spoken when I was in trouble. So here's a talking about a situation where a person was in trouble and made a vow to God. Now, we got an example of that of Jacob. Jacob vowed to God that he would give the tithe. He said, God, if you'll just help me, let me come back to my family in peace. He says, I'll certainly honor you with my tithe. So Jacob was a tither. And because of his tithing, won't you listen to me? And that's why, you know, people, I think that's why the devil fights this. The devil fights this because of the supernatural that happens when you become a consecrated. Everybody say consecrated. A consecrated giver. When you're just, you're giving because you're consecrated yourself to God. That it's not just, you know, all for me, God, but I'm in this for the kingdom as well. So the Bible talks about God giving Jacob this incredible idea for increase that caused him to be abundantly blessed. And then the scripture says, the angel says, I did it because of your vow. So it's all through the Bible, and so we accept that. That if I'm going through and I get this unction, I get this prompting to sow, then I want to be willing to do so. Amen? I mean, really, I'll just give you a brief testimony, and that is when we were trying to buy a house years ago, and I was at one of Dr. Price's meetings, and boy, we talking about it was hard, boy. We'd been turned down 20 times for a long, 20 times. My God. I don't know what kept me going. I guess my faith, huh? I knew my yes was out there. Finally got a yes, but the mortgage company required us to put a whole lot of money down. Well, we were trying to save the money. It was so difficult saving the money. And the time was drawing to the place where we had to come, you know, come to closing. Well, I was sitting in a meeting, and then the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I want you to sow this seed. I want you to meet the budget. I went, oh, my God. That's a whole bunch of money. A whole lot of money. I'd never given that much money to my own church, let alone somebody else. Meet. And, you know, I'd been giving all week. Father, this is my third or fourth day of the meeting, and the meeting was day and night. I'd been giving all week. So, I mean, and then, you know, praise the Lord, I didn't ask him to come. You know, it was his crusade. It wasn't mine. You know, so well, like, wasn't my responsibility. I'm just talking about how you talk when I ask y'all for money. Like, I ain't asked you to go on TV. I know you. But I obeyed God. Now, it was challenging because, you know, and Bridget was strong that day. I can tell you because I don't know what I would have done if she hadn't been there. Because I said, let's do half. Because she had said, the Lord said something to you about giving. I said, well, let's do half. She said, no, you know what the Lord said. I said, okay, I raised my hand and I gave. I'll never forget that. The building where I gave the seat was the East Campus. I was when Brother John Osteen was still alive, and it was Lakewood Church at that time. And I gave that seed in that place that day. That night, things broke for me. Now that from that night to this day, people walk up to me and give me money. It's amazing. I'm over in Tokyo. And the dude that started helping me with my luggage wanted to shake my hand. Well, I shook his hand, and my God, he put something in my hand. See, I think, what if I had not obeyed God? See, because my thinking, here's the thinking. What I have ain't enough for my down payment. I ought to keep it and put a little more with it. Because you sure don't think I ought to take it out and then give it away. Because see, that's not kingdom thinking. Kingdom thinking is I gotta sow a seed so I can get increase. Now that's the teaching of Jesus. Jesus says, give. Come on, y'all know it, and it shall be. Now we know that, but that's a disconnect when I got to look at what I got to give out of. Like, oh. He said, well, Lord, if you'll bless me, then I'll give. Okay? That's like going to the ground and saying, if you give me a fruit, I'll give you a seed. Okay, you don't understand that. That's like going to the job and telling the boss, I want a month's pay and then I'll work. Amen. All right. So all I'm trying to say is, when you're going through, and some of you in here, you're going through something, it's a matter of being able to trust God. You know, I've done it so many times myself. That's why I cannot withhold this from you. I've seen the breakthrough power of God. You know, that's an Old Testament. I got some current testimonies, but some of my current testimonies I have to wait for. I can give them to you because you can't hear them. But I know a few years ago, I think you heard the one, heard it a few years ago, God spoke to me and told me that, I think, we was waiting on something to happen, and God told me to call Brother Copeland up. And, you know, I appreciate his ministry, but I'm not really a part of Brother Copeland's camp and that sort of thing. You know, his group of pastors, I'm not really a part. Appreciate his ministry, watch his ministry, that sort of thing. Great teacher of faith. And told me to sow a seed into him. Told me to call him and sow a seed. I called him and was going to sow a seed into him. All right, brother, bless you. All right, I just put that on the altar. And listen. So he, God told me to talk to him. And I called him. He was in the middle of his camp meeting. So the person went, brother, I know some people on the staff say, he can't call you now. He can't call you now. And I said, no problem. I said, I had no idea he was in the middle of his meeting because I know when I'm in the middle of my meeting, I don't call nobody. No, when I'm in my big conference, I don't call nobody. Follow me? I don't return no calls, nothing like that. And so the secretary called and just said, hey, he's not going to be able to call you. Maybe after the meeting's over. Then that's fine. I've done my part because the Lord told me to give him $10,000. I'm going to send my $10,000 regardless. So right there when the phone hung up, I got a call. This Kenneth. He and I used to be on the board of directors at ORU. And so that's how we have a relationship, you understand? And so then I began to talk to him. I said, Lord told me to sow 10,000. And boy, then he started prophesying. And that thing that we were waiting for, it broke in the next few days. See, so see this, and I know a lot of folks, well, that's a gimmick. That way you think it's a gimmick, it's not for you. Amen. But then there are those who will be like that widow in 1 Kings who will believe and will obey God and will see God break through. Amen. Go open your Bibles now. Let's get this last one in Luke 22. Luke 22. Amen, amen. Jesus taught it also. Which rich ruler comes to Jesus and he says to Jesus, he says, Lord, I'm just empty inside. What do I need to do? And Jesus says, if you will go and give something to the poor. Well, he's asking for an offering. An offering for his ministry. That's what he asked for. And then he told him things would break for him. But the guy didn't do it. He says, the Bible says he went away because he had great possessions. But really the money had him. But the point is, Jesus told this man the key to what he needed was in a seed that he would sow. Amen, amen. And that's the point. That's the point. That it worked in the life. It was in the ministry of Jesus. And boy, if I just took time, I go through all through the Bible. Abraham was he was all bent out of shape by God. God, when you gonna move from me? What's gonna happen? And God told him. This is Genesis chapter 15. The Bible says that God told him, now you go and offer this particular offering, and told him what to do. And when he did it, then God starts speaking. Because see, what comes to you is the favor of God, the wisdom of God. Are you listening? God begins to speak to you. It's like something falls off your eyes. It's like that person you needed rises up to help you. Are you in Luke chapter 22? And this is for those who believe. And like I said, all right, watch this. Because here's this last point. The last point is, I must choose to volunteer beyond my victory to be a blessing. You're going to come out of this. Come on, you are going to come out of it. You are going, look at the person and say, you're going to come out of this. It's not going to always be like it is. You are going to come out of it. You need to have that assurance. stories told about a lady who was cooking. Well, a grandmother, she was baking pies, baking cakes, not pie, but baking cakes. And she had her little granddaughter there. And for the first time, the little granddaughter could see how the cakes were being made. And so she was watching there as the batter had been put together and put in the cake pan. And the daughter was wondering why, you know, the cake pan is this big, but then the batter that was put in there was so small. And so she was watching, and the grandmother says, it's going to rise. And the girl, she was watching through the oven door. And she said, Grandmommy, it's not rising. So it's going to rise. Grandmommy, it's still not rising. She said, that's okay. It's going to rise. Grandmommy, it's not rising. And then she looks at her, oh, Grandmom, it's rising. So later on that day, the little girl asked Grandma, she says, Grandmama, why were you so confident it was going to rise? She said, because I put some in it to make it rise. God has put something in you. Are you listening to me? So he has the confidence that you are coming out of what you're in. You are going to rise. Whew. Luke 22, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brothers. Yeah. Here's what Jesus is saying. When you become victorious, and you are going to be victorious. Yeah. When you are victorious, you have a responsibility to help somebody else. Yeah. You will either be a shoplifter, a self-lifter, or a savior lifter. Now, people who are shoplifters, they come with their burdens, and they get blessed, and they leave. Amen. A self-lifter is a person who comes, gets ministered to, rises, and then credits themselves. It's like they have amnesia and forget it was the Lord who did it. But the Savior lifter is the person who comes and gets blessed and then becomes the testimony for everybody else. Look at what the Lord has done. Because God is waiting to use your testimony to help somebody else. Whenever God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, whenever God blesses you, he has more than you in mind. You are coming out. Go to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. Don't let the persecution discourage you. You know, in the midst of what you're going, in the midst of your fight, you would think it would be others who will help you. You would think it would be others who would encourage you. That is why it's so important to be in a church that's going to encourage you in the midst of your fight. In the midst of your fight, when people are telling you, child, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't do the other. It's good to come so you can hear what the Lord says. Hallelujah. Everybody say persecution. Comes with the hundredfold. Amen, amen. When folks start talking, get ready to start shouting. When the folks start talking, when the persecution comes, see the Bible says, where'd I tell you go? Oh, yeah, I got to read Micah, then we'll go to Mark, then we wrap it up. Because, you know, I'm from vacation. I ain't preaching a long time. I had to help myself. All right, watch this. Micah chapter what? 7. Watch this. Everybody say, when? The folks start talking. Get ready to start shouting. All right, look at verse 8. It says, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Everybody say, when I fall, I will arise. Now you got to have a little attitude about you. Amen. See, there are folk who are waiting for you to fall. Waiting just to try to show you, I know when I started and I was telling everybody, God told me that, you know, I was in the denominational church. I moved out of the denominational church and I began to teach the word of God and quit hooping and that sort of thing. I got no problem with folk who do that. That's what I'm just telling you what God told me to do. And when all the people walked off, all the preachers say, "Hear you? We tried to tell you. Now look at you." I just told them, keep going to bed and keep getting up. God puts something in us that makes it difficult to quit. I got this saying. Whenever you feel like quitting, and you will. Did you hear what I say? And you will. People ask you, did you ever feel like quit? I can't count the number of times I felt like quit. Since I've been in ministry, I can't count the number of times I used to feel like quit. Because I could, listen, I got to tell you, in the early days when I was struggling, it's different. Understand, I could make money to take care of my family. I was a systems analyst. I took a severe cut to come in ministry. So, you know, while I'm in ministry, I understand how much money I could really be making. And so when folk would act up, I tell me to tell God, I ain't your boy. You need to get you another boy. I ain't your boy. But I developed this way back then. If I hold one finger, I decided whenever I was going to quit, I'd give him one more day. Whenever I felt like quit, just give one more day. And that next day, when I felt like quit, I'm just going to give one more. And that next day, when I felt like quit, and no one more days have added. Oh, you listening to me? See, I'm totally persuaded now. I don't feel like quitting. Ain't nothing make me quit now, you understand? I mean, I've been in 50 years now. Ain't no time talking about quitting. I'm talking about in the early days when I was trying to prove all of this stuff. You understand? Yeah, I felt like quitting. I go get me a job. God, you get you another boy. Come on, look at the person next to me and hold your finger up to him. One more day. It's a matter of trusting God. Now, we're going to talk about persecution. I'll talk about persecution a little bit longer because I got to go and wrap it up. But see, persecution is pressure of people trying to control you using their acceptance as leverage. And the moment I understand I don't need your acceptance, that's the moment I'm free from persecution. The hundredfold comes with persecution. I got to be willing to trust God and go through, everybody say through the persecution. Because what will shut their mouths is not my argument, but the vindicating blessings from the Lord. I got to close. I love my church. I got, oh, y'all so sweet. Oh, y'all gonna break me down. Don't break me down. Don't break me down. I got to close. Don't break me down. Don't break me down. Now watch this. Story. Because see, this is all about trusting God's plan. All of it is about trusting God's plan. Because it's not a gimmick, it's not a game. It's about trusting God. It's easy to say you trust God when you already know how you're going to do it. But it's when you don't know how God's going to work it out that it becomes difficult to trust Him. God waiting for, He's waiting for you to use, He wants to use your victory as a platform to encourage others. That's why God tells me to tell my testimony. I'll never get tired of telling my testimony because He told me to tell it. Because every time I tell my testimony, He does something in the hearts of people. People need your testimony when they're facing similar situations and they're about to give up. I need my own testimony because that's how I encourage myself. I encourage myself that if God did it once. Think about it. Oh, so you have to encourage yourself sometimes. You know, you may come to church and only preach on what you need preached on. But you encourage, you go home and encourage yourself. And you have to tell yourself, listen, it ain't the first time I've been in a situation like this. This ain't the first time I felt like this. I felt like this before, and look what God did. I've been through this before, and look what God has done. Because when I'm going through and I begin to encourage myself, I can then give it. Oh, come on. I can give it. Come on, look at the person next to you and say, you got to give it. No, no, you got to give God. A house was on fire. Kid was on the second floor. And the firemen were down below telling the kid to jump because the house was burning. But the kid was petrified as he looked down. They said, jump, jump, jump. He wouldn't move. Smoke was filling the air. He couldn't see. And then finally his father arrived on the scene and called his name and said, jump. And the little boy looked down and he said, Daddy, I hear you, but I can't see you. And the father said as he looked up, I see you, and that's what really matters. How many know you got to trust God when you can't see him, but you know he sees you? And if you jump, he will not let you fall. One more day. I'm out of time, y'all. Glory be to God.